The Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven came, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Voice. It rumbles through storms. It's spoken and seen and heard in lightning flashes. It's a voice that shakes the strongest trees, the tallest mountains, the earth itself. Of course, this is all hyperbolic language, but the psalm that we just read together is a psalm of praise that's trying to get across a point. God is not silent. Our God speaks with a powerful voice that gives the blessing of peace. So how do you hear God's voice? And when you hear God's voice, how do you know it belongs to God? The scriptures give us many examples of where God is directly speaking, but we're not Moses, so we don't have the luxury of a burning bush. And although I have a friend who has heard the call of God in her dreams, many are not awakened in the middle of the night by an angel of the Lord like Joseph or Mary. We don't get emails from God, although I Googled emails from God and I learned you can get one for $1.19. Which seems like a good deal to me, but I don't know. I thought it would be free, right? We don't get text messages from God, although my seminary roommate one time stole my phone away from me and she changed her contact to God in my phone. So one time in the evening, I got a text that said, Jen, I love you. And it was from God. We don't get road signs or rainbows with our names on them and arrows, although sometimes we can interpret those road signs and rainbows and think, now there's the voice of God. Sometimes our prayers don't seem to be answered. And sometimes our prayer is quickly answered. And either way, we wonder if that's the voice of God. We might hear the voice of God externally through a loving friend or a complete stranger. We might hear the voice of God when we're looking over the ocean or standing at the edge of the desert or holding a sleeping child. And we might hear the voice of God internally in still, quiet moments in our heart of hearts speaking to us the gospel of, it will all be okay. What I mean to demonstrate for us is that in moments like the one at the end of the Luke passage we had today, where God directly speaks, seem to be rare. We don't get moments like that these days, or so it seems. Moments where the heavens split open and the voice of the Lord declares to Jesus, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. It's in the middle of his prayer, after his baptism, when Jesus is speaking to God that this happens, that this voice of the Lord declares definitively that this is God's Son. And from here, Jesus begins his whole ministry. And in the chapters that follow, Jesus is thrust into the wilderness for temptation, and then into ministry in Galilee, beginning in Nazareth, where he uses his voice to help people, to heal them, to set them free. Now, the interesting thing is, as soon as he starts speaking, people try to quiet his voice. Can you imagine or consider times in your life when you feel like you've really clearly heard the voice of God speaking? I have this theory that we oftentimes miss the ordinary places where God's voice shows up because there are so many other voices speaking so loudly. Voices from within and voices from outside us. God's voice speaks, and it's a word of love. In our tradition, we say that there are two definitive places where we most clearly hear God speaking. And those two places are the Word and the sacraments. We call them a means of grace. In other words, the Word and the sacraments are like the vehicles that carry the voice of the Lord to us. And through them, the voices within and without are silenced to a point where we can hear God say again who we are and that we are loved. The Word of God is everything from the reading and the hearing of Scripture to preaching or conversation over Bible study. Whether it's our interpretation in our own journaling or in our own minds, or the interpretation of someone else that we're reading, we hear that God's word is alive and active. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is active and powerful, sharper than the sharpest sword, cutting between soul and spirit." Words on the pages of Scripture or spoken through a sermon have the power to be that voice that comes into our lives and intersects with where we are. So you hear words like the ones that were read from Isaiah. And although they were written to a people long ago, to an entire nation that is in captivity and exile, and although they were read by one of our voices, by Tammy's voice, it's also possible to hear them as a word from the voice of the Lord, and to hear them anew, because we're folded into the promises that they declare because of one small word, and that word was you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight. You are honored. I love you. God's voice speaks. And it's a word of forgiveness. We hear clearly the voice of Christ, the word of the Lord speaking at the table we gather around. And it's accompanied by that second person pronoun, you. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Something ordinary that we hear on repeat week after week that we might miss because we hear it so often. But still, it's the voice of the Lord giving himself in love for you and broken and shed. How amazing that God would use ordinary bread, which is just a seed planted in soil, that grows into wheat, that's nourished by sunshine and rain, and harvested and made into flour, and shaped by even some of our very own hands into delicious bread. And God's word. An ordinary earthy wine, a seed planted in soil, grown on grapes on a vine that spend time maturing so that they can be good fruit, that day in and day out sit in creation and drink that same rain, and then they're harvested. And God's word. Two ordinary, simple, earthy things that will be tasted by our tongues and eaten, able to hold the voice of the Lord and the promises of God. New life. Forgiveness of sin, life forever with God. God's voice calls you by name through baptism. All it is water. It's just two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen, one drop of water mixed with a whole bunch of other drops of water. And God's word that all of a sudden is holding the promises of God, the most elemental and basic sustaining element of life. is what becomes something felt by our bodies as it's poured over our head, and it holds the voice of the Lord, even when we are not the ones being baptized. With water, we name God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and we ourselves are named. And we ourselves are marked with the cross of Christ forever, with that smell of anointing oil on our noses, and that's the voice of the Lord, powerful and strong. God's voice speaks, and God's voice speaks to you. But sometimes it can be really hard to feel like we see or hear or taste or touch or smell that way, that voice in ways that are tangible. And it may even seem like God's voice has gone silent, which is why it's really important to not listen for God's voice in isolation. Sometimes it takes a repeated echo of God's internal and external call to finally catch on. That aha moment where we can realize that God is speaking and that it's not just our thoughts and that it's not just something we're hearing on our own. We never learn in the Gospel of Luke if others in the crowd hear that voice from heaven declaring the love that God has for Jesus the Son. All that we know is what that voice says about God's Son, who uses his own voice to bring healing, redemption, wholeness, and that blessing of peace that we heard about in the psalm. God's voice speaks that word of peace to you. And God speaks through you, which may feel kind of daunting. But it's important for us to think about how God's word does come to us in ways that we can hear. And so that's why we are called to use our voices wisely, to speak the blessing of peace, and to share a word of love whenever we can. The words of the liturgy are rote words, the words of the Lord's Prayer. We say them again and again. But those words shape us. Those words are echoed in the words that we speak to each other while we're driving in the car, or sending each other texts throughout the day, or even here in our own hearts as we lay our pillow down at night, as we lay our head down on our pillow at night before we fall asleep. Those simple and extraordinary words also hold the promises of God. So God is not silent. God speaks with a powerful voice. May that voice, the voice of the Lord, rumble through us again now and become the message that we share with each other and with the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.